This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague, Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing at the National Post. Imminent election in Canada. 2 elections, and Conrad will help us understand a very different governance in the United States. First, the Prime Minister has said that he will step aside when there is a new leader for his party, the Liberal Party. Conrad, a very good evening to you. The election for the Liberal Party is on the 9th in a few days. And right now there are major candidates for that. Chrystia Freeland, the former Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, and Mark Carney, a former Bank of England governor, former Bank of Canada governor. But he's unfamiliar to the American public. What do we need to know about Mr. Carney?
You've summarized his career very well. He's not ever been actively in politics, but he's been very unusual as a bank governor, both in Canada and especially in Britain, for his intervention on public policy issues having nothing to do with central banking. In Britain, he became very controversial because he intervened in the Brexit vote and was very much opposed to Britain leaving Europe. And he has since been somewhat rebuked by his successor for uttering statements that incited fear in Britain of absolute disaster if Britain did leave the European Union. And those statements have, in fact, been withdrawn by the Bank of England. That was called at the time Project Fear. And Mark Carney was one of the leaders of it. Now, normally, in any serious country, such as in the United States with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, they don't get involved in bitter partisan questions. They comment only on issues where they have responsibility. What's the prime interest rate and monetary policy, basically, and making some economic forecasts, but on a judicious and not a partisan basis. And he departed from that, and the British didn't appreciate it, but the Canadians weren't especially aware of it. But since then, he has been in the private sector, but very active in some of these United Nations agencies promoting rather extreme views about the climate. We have to stop all use of fossil fuels. And as we've discussed in other contexts in these programs, John, here, as in some other places, oil and gas are our greatest industry. And the key, the single biggest key to the prosperity of the country. And the idea that we should raise our own gasoline prices for automobiles and home heating fuel costs, which are important in Canada. We have a somewhat longer winter than your southern states do, similar to some of your northern states. And that's a serious expense for people. And that we should do this in order to reduce fossil fuel use because of the ultimate impact on the climate. I mean, the voters in all of the advanced countries are turning against that. They're not prepared to make those sacrifices for something so speculative. So that's the line he's taking. And it's an interesting situation because on his appearance, he's clearly a well-educated man, intelligent man, very presentable candidate, and has held important positions, though of a specialized kind. Central banking doesn't take in a great deal of public policy in general. And he is now trying to get out in front in criticizing President Trump for his tariff position and criticizing the American political system because it doesn't have universal health care and that sort of thing. Well, all Canadians know that the universal health care we have has waiting lines that are far too long, and we don't have enough doctors. So even if all what happens is your child falls off his bicycle and scrapes his knee, he goes to the emergency room in the nearest hospital. So there are terrible waiting lines in these emergency rooms. I know I had a minor accident, walking accident with my wife's dog a few months ago, and I had to go and just have a brief check at the hospital. I had to wait about 6 hours for it. I mean, I don't mean to digress, but he's sort of running around the edges here. He's a messiah of a fierce response to climate questions, trying to, if I may say it, sneak into office by understating that and focusing on this current tariff dispute with the United States. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Presumably, according to the polls, he will be the Liberal Party leader. And then within a few days, he calls a general election, and that will happen at the end of April. Is all that correct?
You know, that is the thinking. Now, in fairness, assuming he is chosen as Liberal leader, he could delay the election until September if he wanted to, as long as the opposition parties in Parliament allow him to. If they force a vote and the government loses a vote of confidence, then they would have to go to the country right away. But normally, the Liberals can provide enough incentive for the smaller parties to support them, you see. But the thinking is, on all sides, Liberals and the official opposition, is that he will seek an election in late April or early May.
And Mr. Poilievre leads the Conservatives, and the polls have indicated for some time that it's time for a change of direction for the country. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, those polls narrowed somewhat, but that is still the view. And in this country, you haven't had the Liberals would be seeking a fourth consecutive election. You haven't had the same party win four consecutive elections in this country since 70 years ago, 1950s.
And Mr. Carney, if he is the candidate for the Liberal Party, will feature Mr. Trump as his campaign strategy? That's the one the Democrats
used. That's what he's doing right now. Now, most of us hope that this tariff issue will have been resolved by then, right. So it won't, it won't be a viable campaign issue. But and your Commerce Secretary, Mr. Lutnick, has been suggesting that even today that that's not going to go on very long as a problem. But even if it is still a problem, I think the voters would see that it isn't a legitimate issue to decide who to vote for in our election. I mean, whoever the prime minister is will have to deal with whatever tariff questions there are. But we've seen the Liberals in office now for 10 years, and the majority opinion in this country is that, it's time for change. Like any democracy, both sides come to bat,
Of the two major candidates, presuming things stay according to the polls, Mr. Carney and Mr. Poilievre, I believe Mr. Poilievre is not in any fashion alienated from Mr. Trump's policies. Is that correct?
That's true. I mean, he is doing the patriotic thing and saying that we have to defend our interests on the tariff side, but he is not at all hostile to Trump. He has some other advantages apart from being a younger man and the it's time for a change feeling. He speaks French much better than Mr. Carney does, and that is an issue in Quebec. And it's still, you've got approximately a little over one-fifth of the districts, the parliamentary districts, are mainly French-speaking people. And in those districts, the person who speaks French best has an advantage.
Conrad Black, writing for the National Post. The election is imminent. I'm John Batchelor.
Thank you.
truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.